Welcome back to Witch Church. It's your host, Mal. I'm a professional astrologer, tarot reader and teacher, and intuitive healer. And you're about to listen to the recording of Witch Church Live, a sermon that I give to my Instagram community every week. Feel free to catch the live show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central on IG Live, or listen to the recording right here on the podcast. This is a non-denominational weekly service for witches, astrology nerds, and anyone else who feels like they are being called to walk the spiritual path. At Witch Church Live, we talk all about the weekly astrological and tarot forecast, and really anything else that is channeled through me about the week ahead. Oh, and you'll probably hear about my random life updates and some rambly life stories mixed in as well. I hope that's okay. If this podcast brings some kind of value or joy to your life, be sure to leave me a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And feel free to send this podcast to a friend if you feel like they could benefit from listening. If you feel called, you can also support the production of this podcast and my other creations on Patreon for as little as $5 a month and get access to my secret YouTube channel with a bunch of extra astrology and tarot content. And if you would like me to hold space for you on your spiritual path, you can book an astrology session, tarot reading, or distance Reiki healing on my site, MalloryHasty.com. I would be honored to be your guide in some way. All of the links to my site and my social media are in the show notes. Have a magical week, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. How are we feeling? Because this fixed T-square energy, that full moon in Aquarius we had, it was a vibe, and it wasn't a great vibe. In my opinion, it wasn't an easy vibe. Let's say that was not an easy vibe. When was the full moon in Aquarius? I feel like it was, okay, today's Sunday, Saturday. It was Thursday, Friday, we had the full moon in Aquarius. What came up for you guys? Were you feeling the tension? Were you struggling with the energy, or was it really good for you? You know, because that can be the astrology, the way we experience astrology isn't this universal experience. You know, we can experience things subjectively, and even if everybody is saying that this full moon was rough, you could have had a subjectively good experience, you know, depending on what it was lighting up in your chart and all of that stuff. But yeah, for me, I think there was a lot of tension, panic. Tension, panic, just stress. And I'm finding that fixed energy, aka Aquarius, Leo, Taurus, and Scorpio, I think when fixed energy is really active, especially during a full moon, I think there's a lot of stress that could be had. Because if you think about it, you know, fixed energy is the middle of the story. You know, fixed energy is the middle of the cardinal signs and the mutable signs. Fixed energy is almost this problem solving. We're in the middle. We're working out the obstacles and the kinks and the plan. You know, it's inherently filled with this idea of kind of breaking through, breakdown breakthroughs, I think, are very fixed sign energy. So we could be feeling that for sure. Honey Jelly, you said, I had a lot of craziness on the roads, but for me it felt like a Thursday. My days were off, that's it. That's fair. And Ellis, I finally came to the conclusion that I probably definitely have PMDD and most likely need medication, so there's that. That's, you know, I'm glad you said that, Ellis, because that's not necessarily that we're all having that specific realization, but I think there are some realizations in the air. You know, I think there are some realizations that we might have to move forward in a way that's maybe not the perfect idealized road ahead. That's another thing that I think the full moon in Aquarius might have brought up for me. This idea that there's no 100% correct and guaranteed decision. Yet in life, we are constantly making decisions every hour, even every minute of the day. And then there are some greater decisions that are put in front of our plate that feel much bigger than just the decision to have eggs and toast for breakfast, right? Like the decisions about where to move and who to be in relation with and what kind of job we want and how do we engage with our spiritual practice. And, you know, like there's just these bigger decisions that I think are on the table. And there was something about this week, this past week, that really had me sitting in the question, like, how do I really make an aligned decision, granted, all the while knowing that, you know, even the aligned decision isn't going to be perfect. You know, the aligned decision isn't necessarily going to be filled with rainbows and butterflies. You know, the aligned decision might include fears that we have to overcome. You know, the aligned decision might feel harder than the easy decision. You know, that's actually often the case. You know, sometimes the right decision is the hardest decision too, you know, and that can kind of be the sort of fixed sign energy. Alexandra, you said, I felt like I was productive. In fact, I worked 12 hours that day. That's very on fleek with your sixth house Aquarius sun and having the full moon, lighting up that Aquarius sun. And Brooke, you said, Leo sun, Capricorn rising. I concluded my corporate job is not in alignment with me anymore. That makes sense, Brooke, because if you're Cap rising, then Aquarius is your second house of income. So I could see why the full moon for you may have illuminated, like, this is how I'm making money right now, but how would I like to make money in other ways in the future? Or, like, how do I support myself? That feels very Cap rising-y. In light of this full moon in Aquarius, but I'm still very much riding the aftermath of it all. And something that came to mind with this last week of the fixed T-square energy, because in about a week from now, on Saturday, it would be Saturday, August 20th, Mars will move into Gemini. Okay. And I'm going to make a podcast about this. Me and Taylor Schuler are going to record a podcast for Mars in Gemini. Since it's such a long transit, you may have heard that Mars is going to be in Gemini for close to 6 months. Yeah, so like end of August, September, October, Halloween, Mars will station retrograde. November, December, January, Mars stations direct, February, early March. Yeah, so that's roughly 6 months we're going to have Mars in Gemini. So that's going to be big. And honestly, it's not my least favorite Mars transit. Like, I would rather have Mars retrograde in Gemini than our last Mars retrograde, which was in Aries, and that was sometime in 2020, I believe it was, like, summer of 2020. Okay, so, I don't know, we'll talk about that more, but granted, that is why partially this week is the last, like, super tense fixed sign extravaganza, because Mars will be leaving Taurus. Mars will be saying, I'm ending the T-square. You know, Mars is a part of this T-square between Saturn, the Sun, and Mars. And Mars is going to say bye-bye and get out of that. And that's actually really good for us. Not that I necessarily want Leo season to be over, but, you know, in a week from now, we'll be getting a lot more mutable. The Sun will move into Virgo. Mars will move into Gemini, you know, that all of this fixed T-square stuff will break. So, that being said, what do we do with this final week of the T-square energy? Especially, like, today and tomorrow, the Sun in Leo isn't very happy right now because he's opposing Saturn, okay? He's at an exact opposition with Saturn. And the Sun is also in a looser square with Mars, too. So now it's the Sun's turn to pass through the T-square energy. And, you know, it's funny, I was thinking, like, you know the phrase, like, I'm right, you're wrong. You know, Sun opposite Saturn is like, I'm right, and then Sun square to Mars is like, you're wrong. Like, there's kind of an argument, there's an argument going on, I think, in the astrology of this week, which is kind of why I picked Five of Wands for our main card of the week. Not that we have to be, like, hypervigilant in expecting, like, literal arguments or literal fighting or conflict with others, although it could be possible, depending on what you're choosing to engage with. But it's more about this idea of tension, okay? And if you've taken tarot class with me, you may have remembered that the Five of Wands, I sometimes explain it as not necessarily five individuals fighting for their, you know, for their way, but sometimes the Five of Wands are different parts of us that are fighting, right? Like, I'm sure that we can all kind of relate to that in some way. Like, when we're in a sense where it's like, okay, well, part of me wants to stay in this job and just make the money, and part of me wants to leave and do something more creative, and then part of me wants to really work on this relationship, and part of me wants to leave, and, you know, like, it's a little bit of, like, a should I stay, should I go kind of vibe with the Five of Wands sometimes. And mostly, with the Five of Wands being our card of the week, the sort of energy of this last final T-square vibe, for now, Scorpio season will kind of light it up again, but not quite to this extent of Leo season having Mars in Taurus. But really the word I was thinking about was tension. Okay. Savannah, you said, why am I thinking of the Five of Wands as the Spider-Man meme where they're all pointing at each other? Yeah, no, that is the Five of Wands. And one time one of my students, I don't know if Chris Jellybean is here, but Jellybean, they described the Five of Wands as five people trying to put together a tent, which I thought was, like, really funny because I don't know if you've ever tried to put a tent together with other people. It can result in it can result in literally this image, right? So let's look at the definition of tension, because on the one hand, we can think of tension as a feeling, like one of the definitions is mental or emotional strain. But tension, in like a more literal sense, is the state of being stretched tightly. And I was like, that sounds like a T-square, doesn't it? You know, with literally the shape of a T-square. It's like three energies stretching each other and trying to get each other to go one's way. Wait, one another's way. Sam, you said we've definitely been seeing this energy politically this week. That's a really good point, for sure. I'm thinking about tension. I was thinking about, like, really, like, what is tension and what is the medicine or the salve? My Chicago accent is having trouble with that word. But yeah, what is the medicine when we feel so much tension? Because that would probably be, in a very biased way, what I have been feeling with the fixed T-square energy. I've been feeling tension between who I am and where I'm going, both metaphorically and literally. I've been feeling tension with different people in my life. I've been feeling tension between different decisions I've been in the process of making. You know, like, I don't know if anybody else relates to this tension-filled vibe, but tension literally makes me feel, like, stretched. You know, it brings up this anxiety. And when I think about my stress or anxiety in relation to tension, I, like, really feel it, like, in the throat chakra. You know, I really feel it heart and throat, like something is kind of stretching me. And sometimes when I'm confused about, like, the spiritual medicine or, you know, what's the Band-Aid or the cure for tension, I think about how tension might show up in nature. 'Cause sometimes that just helps me. I'm like, okay, well, every human experience that I have can also be mirrored somewhere in nature. And because, like, the nature world is much smarter and wiser than I could ever be in a lot of ways, like, how does nature just naturally transmute tension? Like, what happens when nature experiences tension, and how does nature deal with that? So I was trying to think of, like, an example of when we see tension in nature. And I'm like, I really can't think of anything, you know, like, I couldn't think of anything. I was like, is it like when a lightning bolt strikes a tree branch and the tree branch breaks? But that feels more like destruction than tension. But then I actually remembered one of Demetra, the astrologer Demetra George, she describes the first quarter moon as a time of tension. And the metaphor she uses for the first quarter moon is like a seedling coming through the ground. And something clicked for me, because I was like, oh yeah, like these seedlings, you know, that's where nature, that's where tension is mostly present in nature. It's before the moment of birth, you know, like these seeds feeling tension between themselves and gravity and trying to break through the ground and break through the cracks. In a more visceral sense too, I mean, like, literally giving birth, whether it's an animal or a human, like, there's a lot of tension in that process, not to get too graphic, but I think that's a very clear example of tension and how it is displayed in nature. And if you can think of anything, comment down below, because I could be missing some things. But I was kind of struck with this idea that tension, at least when we look at it from the world of nature's perspective, tension is the thing that comes before birth or the reveal of something new. And that could very much be kind of what we're working out right now in a lot of ways. In last week we talked about the death card, and I still feel that this week. Like, there's some kind of ending or change, whether that's internal, external, or both, that we may be struggling right now to figure out how exactly do I birth this thing. You know, I feel so much tension with trying to become this version of myself that I'm feeling called to be, right? But then maybe there's just this kind of necessary tension that we are sitting in and feeling right now in order to kind of show us the way. Alice, you said maybe this is just me as a writer and fiction fan, but whenever tension happens is where the juicy bits are and where the characters learn who they really are. Yeah, that's such a good point. That's the reason we keep reading the book, right? Or keep watching the show. Ale, you said, I felt frozen. Taurus rising sign. Tension is present too. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that, Ale. Like the sort of tension that can come from, like, or the freeze state that I think we can feel, like when we feel like there's so much tension or so many things that are kind of going on. I've felt myself maybe freezing in that way a lot. And this week, especially with the sun kind of getting close to a Mars square, they'll never actually perfect the square, but they're close. You know, I think we might want to be mindful of that fight, flight, or freeze kind of reaction. Not that we can really control that, but just having our coping mechanisms ready. And Ellis, you said, I think of how the weather is when a hot air and cool air combine. It's when the storms are brewing and then the rain breaks. There's a release, but it also can be destructive like a tornado. Yeah. That's good. That's good. What do we do with tension? What do we do with tension? Nick from In Search of Tarot, they pulled me this card, a couple days ago, and then a couple hours after they pulled this card for me, I pulled it for me, so I was like, strength is really coming in as maybe an ally to this process. And I was also thinking about the Empress, too. Like, strength and Empress maybe being our allies when it comes to experiencing tension and what we do with tension. Because tension can be activating. And when we're activated, you know, being in a fight, flight, freeze, stress response is, you know, sometimes we're clicking into that. But how do we keep ourselves regulated all the while experiencing possibly a great amount of tension? And I don't know the answers, to be honest. In this last week, I don't think I've struggled with self-regulation so much than this past week. Like, there was just something about this past week that really triggered me. I think it has to do with the whole, like, tension comes before birth situation. But self-regulation has been very, very difficult. And I do think the Empress teaches us the bare basics of self-care that are end up being our most important things that we can do for ourselves, like prioritizing sleep, prioritizing three nourishing meals a day, or just a handful of nourishing meals a day, depending on what your body intuitively wants. That's been a grounding force for me, just really focusing on like those primal needs, the sort of need to sleep, the need to eat and drink water, and then the need to commune with nature. And I think the Empress tells us that sometimes those things are exactly what we need and they are okay. And I think that's why so many people say like, oh, I tried meditation, it didn't work for me. Or like, I tried grounding, or I tried getting a crystal and it didn't work. Yeah, because I mean, no coping mechanism can actually work to its full extent when the basic like needs are not met, right? So we can't use a crystal when we haven't fed ourselves a nourishing meal in like 2 days and expect the crystal to provide us with something like unbelievably healing. Yeah, and like that's something that I work with highly sensitive people on, you know, just the what's our bare basic self-care plan that we need to work on, because a bubble bath does not do anything when there's no water, that you haven't drank any water today. So, you know, like what's a bubble bath going to do? That's something that the Empress often offers me, like how powerful it can be to just care for ourselves in that very basic way, but do it really well. Like, do it the best you can, even do it the best you've ever done this week, or the best you can manage this week. Juliet, absolutely, the nap is always the answer. And when it comes to strength, I was actually reading something in the, what is this book here? Okay, this is the Mother Peace Bigger Guidebook, Mother Peace, yeah, Deck Guidebook by Vicki Noble. And I just wanted to see what was written about strength in this book, because when I pulled the strength card, I actually pulled it from the Mother Peace deck, and I'll show you the image of that strength card, which, I mean, I love this. I love this strength card so much. You know, this kind of, the author says it's, the goddess, the Celtic goddess Bridget, and she is sitting in the grass with all of her animals, and, in this book, she says, when you get strength in a reading, it means you are experiencing yourself as ready and able to get what you want in life, grounded and centered in your experience of energy. You know from the heart what you need, since your own needs are not cut off from the needs of others. You are probably able to provide energy for others at this time, consciously lending a hand. Just as the priestess in this image is surrounded by the green of the fairy world, so there is magic afoot in your life at this time. Try wishing for what you have always wanted. Now is the time it may manifest. And there was another point in here that was really good. One moment. I at least wrote it down. I wrote it down in my journal. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay. So somewhere in there it says, the strength card helps us make contact with the unconscious in order to survive. And I thought that was really powerful. Like, what does that even mean, though? Making a connection to our unconscious in order to survive. It makes sense to me in a way, because if we're experiencing a lot of tension and stress, and we're experiencing some triggers in the outside world, those triggers aren't just conscious, right? Like, the things that are going on in the outside world are indubitably triggering other unconscious parts of us, whether that's our inner child or memories or trauma. And sometimes when we are kind of, I don't want to say brave enough, but when we are mindful and reach a hand out to those unconscious pieces, that can also be a tactic of survival. Because while those unconscious pieces run wild and just are going all over the place, and we don't have contact, or we have no way of speaking to them or asking them what they need, that can make it really, that can make surviving a huge struggle. It's often easier to survive when we are aware of our unconscious, because then at least we know, you know, oh God, I just got this jolt of anxiety. Like, oh, why is that? Well, this whole thing is, I can totally see why it would be triggering to my inner child, right? I can totally see why this part is afraid that would happen again. You know, like, at least we understand. You know, understanding brings us more peace. It might not cure the anxiety, it might not cure the stress or tension, but at least we understand it. And there's something about the strength card, you know, the person in white being kind of this higher self part, and the lion, this kind of ego part that just kind of wants to run wild. And why is the higher self able to, like, come in and just, like, calm the ego part? Well, it's this idea that that our unconscious pieces are kind of waiting for us to lend a hand or to offer care or nourishment, and that can be a really powerful survival mechanism and coping mechanism, right? And Faye, you said basic self-care is not selfish. And Pam, you said, I was struggling this week with the next level of grief and trying to let go of my relationship. I picked a card for myself. I got the strength card and he got the fool. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting that you got strength too, Pam. And Faye, you also said, getting in touch with stomach feelings, fears, or intuitions. Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's a big anxiety versus intuition kind of vibe, I think, that this week might reveal with the, not only the Sun opposing Saturn, but this Sun-Mars situation too. I also was looking at the astrology of this week when it comes to moon transits, and I was thinking that the most intense day, I think, of this week is going to be Wednesday and Thursday, because the moon will be transiting Taurus, and we know Taurus is part of the fixed T-square. We know that's where Mars is. Specifically on Thursday, Mars is, or the moon is going to approach a conjunction with Mars. And also on Thursday, Venus is going to be trining Jupiter. So, hey Heather. So with this Venus-Jupiter trine, I'm just going to put this out there. I'm not trying to sit on my high horse of astrological, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to sit on my astrologer high horse, but I'm just going to warn you guys that you're going to see some posts this week with Venus trine Jupiter. And it's going to be like, woo, this is the best transit ever. Follow your dreams. Because if you think about it, Venus, the planet of love, you know, Jupiter, the planet of expansion, these are our two benefic planets. They're in a trine, which is the most harmonious aspect. The issue is what's going to happen. I can already tell people are going to take it out of context, right? They're not going to take into account that this fixed T-square is still going on. They're not going to take into account that on Wednesday and Thursday, the moon is in Taurus. And, you know, the moon is going to be approaching that Mars conjunction. So it's weird because Wednesday and Thursday is kind of a mixed bag. With that T-square being activated, but then also the Venus-Jupiter trine. I'm not saying it's going to be a horrible day and the Venus-Jupiter trine is just going in the garbage. It's it's not quite that. But I do wonder if there is something difficult that arises that we are able to empower ourselves to move through. And I know that sounds kind of vague and maybe a little bit cheesy, but when I think of Venus trining Jupiter in a fire sign, both Venus and Jupiter are in fire signs. Venus is in Leo and Jupiter's in Aries, retrograde in Aries. So I'm thinking about this idea that, you know, when Venus and Jupiter trine in a fire sign, like that's some very, like, I will survive, I'm a survivor, destiny's child kind of situation. It's a very, like, I will rise above this, and I'm more powerful than this obstacle in itself. And I think this just might be also a good reminder that, you know, not to take our obstacles too personally and to not take the tension that is happening in our lives too much to heart. Because I also think that's something that the fixed T-square can kind of present. Like the sort of idea that, oh my God, it's all my fault, I gotta handle it, I have a lot of pressure, I have the world on my shoulders. And there's something about the Jupiter-Venus trine that's like, babe, like, it's gonna be okay. You're greater than this, you're more powerful than this. And the universe also is helping you, right? Like, don't forget, like, this isn't all on you. Like, don't forget that there's spirit timing, and there's also our magical allies, our spirit allies, that are in some way involved with leading us through this. So it almost kind of feels like you're not alone kind of vibe, but also remembering that this isn't just all on you, okay? Ale, you said, I see the trine bringing some relief and hope to the cross. I like that, Ale. That feels really resonant. Cher, you said, not taking obstacles personally is exactly how I feel with Saturn transiting my eighth house. Yeah. Saturn, I mean, you know, Cher, that I'm also a Cancer rising. And yeah, I mean, Saturn transiting the eighth house can be like, wow, I have all this credit card debt, like, I'm so irresponsible. But then it's like, wait, am I really that irresponsible? Or is this world just set up so I'm supposed to financially fail? You know, like, that can be kind of a Saturn in the eighth house kind of thing. One other message too, and I'm gonna pull a card for the Venus Jupiter trine on Thursday. But one other thing I wanted to say was, is something I've probably talked about previously, but the sense of urgency, especially right now, is not entirely real. And just keep telling yourself that, because sometimes when we feel tension, we want it to be over, right? I mean, who doesn't want it to be over? And when we feel tension, we can sometimes stir up this feeling of urgency in order to get past this feeling of suffering. But the sense of urgency is fake. You know, like, if we really want to believe that there's always a better opportunity on the other side of this, or that we live in a universe that has an abundance of possibilities, then urgency is fake, right? Like, we don't capital H have to do that. You know, we don't have to go that way. We don't have to say yes. And to be motivated right now by a sense of urgency may even result in making a choice that was maybe premature in some way. And I think we will have a lot more clarity once the sun moves into Virgo, once Mars moves into Gemini. There just seems to be like some clarity present. So if you can kind of sit with that feeling of urgency and really remember that it might not all be true this week, that will pay off by the time Virgo season begins, okay? Oh, okay, and this is our medicine card for Venus trine Jupiter, judgment. Okay, judgment. Oh, gosh. I don't know what I'm getting with this. It feels to me like we have to remember that there's purpose to this tension. This tension, like I was kind of talking about in the beginning, there's rebirth. Birth comes after tension. That is what nature teaches us, right? Watch a baby bird crack through its egg. You know, watch a seed come through the ground. These are all examples that nature gives us that says tension is followed by birth. So just keeping that in mind, and I think the Venus-Jupiter trine, although it's not going to be all rainbows and butterflies, I think it reminds us of this kind of vibe, okay? That's my message for this week, my friends. I always am shocked for how quickly these go by. And while you all are typing maybe prayer requests, or if you need me to pull you a card, feel free to type that below. You might have seen my Instagram post this morning, but I did release my first self-paced course called Tarot for Inner Child Healing. And I'm super excited about it. I think it's like a really good little mini course, and I would love if you checked it out or even just gave the post a like, because the Instagram algorithm is just kind of brutal out there. So if you could even, after you leave Witch Church, go to my profile and give it a like, give it a share, give it a comment if you feel called. And one of the reasons I'm super excited about this course in general is I think it's a really good example of just what it's like to be in a live class with me. And the Witch Church community is getting the first inkling of this, but I have scheduled another highly sensitive person container that's going to start later this fall on September 25th. So I'm not going to make a post about that for a while, probably not until Virgo season, but Witch Church is going to have the first announcement here. So if you want to go check that out on my website and you're wondering how it would be to join that kind of container, Highly Sensitive Person Harvest is a live container where we do group processing work together for about 8 weeks. I think the Tarot Inner Child course is a really good, like, almost gateway drug into the HSP Harvest, if you want it to be, because the Inner Child Tarot course is a good example of some of the things we actually will do as a group in HSP Harvest. But if you have any questions about either of those offerings, the self-paced course or HSP Harvest starting September 25th, you know where to find me. Feel free to slide into my DMs. Okay, one more thing can I say? And I mean this in the most loving way to all of you. But I will say, I know some of you have probably experienced the sort of phenomenon of Instagram stalkers, or not Instagram stalkers, Instagram frauds, or what word am I looking for? The fake accounts. Okay. And I think I had a fake account early last week. I've had this happen to me like 4 times. I know a lot of astrologers and tarot readers have this happen to them. And I appreciate it so much that so many of you reached out, and it felt very protective. It felt like, oh man, like, you know, this person's impersonating you, like, you know, it just wanted to let you know. And I'm so happy that you were able to send me that. But in the future, guys, you don't have to notify me about the Instagram fakes, especially if it's my account. Just report and block. You don't even have to tell me about it. And that goes for, I think, everybody, like all of the astrologers you follow, all of the tarot readers you follow. You can determine when it's a fake, right? Like if they DM you and they say, hello, dear high priestess, pussy queen boss, like I'm here to sell you a tarot reading, you know, it's not us, right? So just report and block. You don't need to go as far as shooting me an email or DM. If you did that, I so appreciate it, but it's just not necessary. Don't waste your energy. Just report and block and move on. And that's what I do too at this point as well. So I just wanted to put that out there. Okay. All right. So that is the tea. All right. I'm trying to see here. Okay. Pam, you said I would love a card for the week. Yes. Okay. Let's see, a card of the week for Pam. Seven of Pentacles. Okay. You know what I just said, Pam, about like this sense of urgency is fake, you know? And I think in an earlier comment, you were talking about just kind of feeling through the grief of the kind of partner separation that you've gone through this year. You know, what's the rush? You know, what's the rush in grieving? Grieving is the type of thing that is truly impossible to rush, because grieving is this kind of thing where we're not only grieving a relationship, but we're grieving our old version of ourselves that was in that relationship. And we're kind of figuring out who we are again as individuals, you know? And I just think the Seven of Pentacles is like, there's absolutely no rush. I don't think you're exactly doing this, Pam, what I'm about to say, but there's so many times when I talk to people who are going through a breakup and they're like, God, when am I gonna get over this? Like, it's already been, you know, 3 months and I still am sad. And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't, you know, yes, that's correct. Like, you can be sad for as long as you want. You can kind of grieve that for as long as you want. There is no shame in taking a long time to really process through something. And processing through something in a quote-unquote quick way is often not authentic, right? It often kicks us in the butt later. So I would almost rather really dive into the grieving process, so when I do come out of it, I'm actually ready to maybe invite a new person into my life or whatever, because then I can clearly tell someone, let's say on a first date, I can really say, yeah, like, you know, I was in this really significant relationship, but I took time to myself and now I'm ready for something else. And I can really mean that, right? There's so many times. Is this coming from my personal life? Maybe. But there's so many times when I've met people where I just sense that they haven't taken the time to grieve the past. And then they're trying to, you know, do something, whatever, to get past it. And that just isn't how it works, right? So I'm not saying you're doing that, Pam, but just as a general example. Seven of Pentacles can be very good medicine. Honey Jelly, you said, can you draw a card for the collective Taurus energy? Sure, I'll do that. Just for you Tauruses out there, I know you're having a hard time. So, oh, okay, Taurus, Three of Pentacles. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to start a Taurus support group through this last week of Leo season, maybe that would be helpful. But I think this has to do with maybe Taurus energy, getting the Three of Pentacles, really needing to reach out right now, really needing to find community, finding support, knowing that they don't have to fight these battles alone, and that isolation may be making the situation worse, right? So, you know, Mars is in your sign, and Mars is the planet of action. But Mars is in Venus, and Venus is the planet of harmony. So how can we take action towards the pursuit of harmony? That feels to me like a Three of Pentacles message here. Okay. Ellis, you said, would you pull a card for hopefully something for me to look forward to soon? Things feel kind of pointless lately. Yeah. Six of Cups. It's funny that you said, I want a card to look forward to, and then you received the Six of Cups, which is the card of the past, and, you know, like, it's a card of, you know, inner child stuff, and I know you've been working on that a lot, and what I'm intuitively getting is that, maybe there's some more personal responsibility you are going to feel motivated to kind of take in the next couple weeks when it comes to being your own creator of things that you can look forward to. You know, and I know, like, certain hobbies, like taking a dance class or whatever, like taking a pottery class, I know that takes disposable income that we sometimes all do not have, and I understand that, but still, I think there's some maybe magician-y kind of vibe that you can take, Ellis, when it comes to actually creating things, putting things in place for your future to look forward to. Literally making a list and putting, like, calendars of August, September, and October on your wall and kind of looking at, okay, what about these months? What can I create in these months to look forward to? Because I think the Six of Cups is coming out to say, yeah, I think your intuition is right. Maybe there has been so much time being spent maybe processing the past that now it's time to maybe let that sit for a second and integrate it by focusing more on the future, okay? And Faye, you said, dang, this session hit gorgeously hard. I'm so glad. Faye, you also said, a card for the week, my dear. The Emperor. Ooh, I like this, Faye. I think this is a reminder that you can take up space anywhere you want to, and that, you know, I think empower yourself to make choices that really align with you first and foremost. It doesn't matter other people's opinions of you and your life as much as it matters your opinion of you and your life. And I just feel like this is a lot of self-permission. And I think this week you're really contemplating, like, how am I giving myself permission, more permission than ever, to really live my life? That's how I feel about that Emperor. Farah, you said, I love a card just for my week, currently semi-stranded in Mexico. I'll come join you, Farah. All right, a card for Farah's week. Okay, Three of Swords. You know, here's what I'm kind of getting. I'm getting that this week it could be easy to kind of maybe this doesn't feel like a fresh wound. It feels to me like this week it could be easy to kind of sit and stew in old woundings that feel like they may have been emotionally processed by you. But I know, how do I like put words to this? This is such like a water sign thing, and I feel like I forget what placements you have in water, Farah, but it's such a water sign thing to like really emotionally process something, but then still stew in it at some point. And at some point, we have to say, you know what? I've processed this enough for now. I know I still have pain, I still have grief over it, but I'm kind of choosing to not ignore this pain, but I'm choosing to really start to energetically transmute it. So in a weird way, I'm kind of getting that it's going to be a very physical week. Like you are going to be finding a lot of medicine in like somatic physical release, whether that's like dancing or walking or like breath work, yoga, whatever you feel inclined to. I know there's a lot of physical activity that you do that feels very somatic, but it's almost like, honey, you've already processed this enough in the mental space. Now the next step is getting out there, not stewing, and really like loosening up the body and loosening it out of the body. That's how it feels. And if that's what you have been doing, then you're on the right track, Farah. Alexandra, you said, thank you for today's sermon. As always, you leave us thinking and prepared for what the universe is throwing at us. Can I please have a card for the week? Yeah, let's see, Alexandra. Wow, you're gonna be excited here. We got the Magician and the Eight of Wands. That's spicy. Okay. It really feels like a make it happen kind of energy. I think you do have a lot of energy in this moment, Alexandra. You're not feeling as burnt out or as overworked as you were. So use that energy to propel you forward in an aligned way. And we've talked enough in our personal sessions for you to know like what is that aligned way. But yeah, keep refilling your energetic vessel so you can continue having this energy. But when you don't continue to fill your energetic vessel, then this movement isn't there, you know? So really prioritize this energy, continuing to flow and continuing to keep yourself in a really high vibration by caring for yourself in ways that feel really aligned, okay? Cher, you said, I'd love a card of advice, whatever comes through. Ooh, okay, Cher, we have the Chariot. Okay. Okay, I'm getting something about being really skeptical about, you know, when we want to change. We want change in our life in some way. And we have like option A, option B, option C. But then we also kind of have not necessarily excuses, but we know there are legitimate obstacles to option A, option B, option C when it comes to moving forward. And I'm just thinking about like being skeptical of those not excuses, but you know what I mean. Like being skeptical of the sort of, oh, like I actually really want to do that, but it's just not possible. Like it's just not gonna happen. I don't see how it could happen. That's what you want to be skeptical of. Like you want to be skeptical of any thought that you have about things like not being able to happen, being impossible, or being like super hard. And what would it be like to open up to the possibility of something being easy, of something being worth it. And also, when I say the term worth it, that also lights kind of a light bulb inside of my head, because maybe you are kind of contemplating these options and thinking like, well, like, would it be worth it? Maybe, you know, like, this path does have some struggle that's involved, but so does this one that I'm sitting in right now, right? So would it be worth it to go forth in this way? That's what I'm getting with the Chariot, and of course, the card of Cancer, okay? So my fellow Cancer risings. Oh, Farah, you are Pisces moon. That is so, yeah. Okay, I forgot. I knew there was something Piscean in it, and you know I'm a Pisces moon too, so I totally understand what's going on. I understand so much. So, and you said that resonates. My body has been asking to move more. Thank you. Yeah, totally, my friends. Well, I maybe will end our Q&A for today. But thank you so much for coming to Witch Church. Be sure to check out my new Inner Child Tarot self-paced course. And I would love to answer any of your questions about that course if anything comes up. And besides that, I'm holding space for us on this last week of the fixed T-square, and by the time we talk again next week, Mars will have moved into Gemini, and we can talk about a new topic, which I'm looking forward to. Okay, friends, have a good week, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.